The gospel you've just heard there is very well known to most of us, particularly the last part of it. Come to me, all you who labour and are overburdened. What captures our imagination to start with is the opening parts of it, where Jesus says, "I bless you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for revealing these things to mere children and not to the learned and to the clever." Now, the learned and the clever, he's referring to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, though they're not named, but it's very obvious that that's who he's referring to. And it's helpful for us, I think, to understand in the time of Jesus why Jesus would put that spotlight on those particular people. Whilst I'm not going to give you an academic history lesson, I am going to explain to you briefly why Jesus would address them, because they, as a group of people, the learned and the clever, were completely at the other end of the scale to those who were mere children. And it's helpful for us to understand the difference, because somewhere in between there is where we exist in our own lives spiritually now. Now, the Sadducees, they were people, mainly a priestly caste of people, and the centre of their world was really on the temple. So they were very preoccupied with the priestly rituals in the temple, primarily the sacrifices that went on there. And along with that, the sacrifices, they had to be paid for. So there was a financial element to their life as well. The Sadducees, part of the learned and the clever, they concentrated their faith on the Torah, the five books, the first five books, the books of Moses on the Torah. And they were very literal. So their life was very restricted, if you like, simply by the words that came from those first five books. Now, in time, and about 160 years before Christ was born, the Pharisees were another group that came forward. Now, they were not a political people. They were really an offshoot, if you like, of the Sadducees. But we would put them in with the learned and the clever. Whilst the Sadducees were the priestly intellectual caste based at the temple and the five books of Moses, the Pharisees certainly stuck very closely to the commandments in those five books, those first five books. However, and this is the important part for this particular gospel, they also had a great attachment to what we call oral traditions. So the spoken understanding of the people and of the Sadducees to some degree. So whilst the Sadducees looked at the letter of the law, the Pharisees looked at the letter of the law, the first five books, but they also went beyond that and took in an interpretation of the law. And that was never black and white. It was always always evolving. But in that evolution, they imposed or brought forward 613 commandments, which people were supposed to live by if they were going to consider themselves a holy people, a people who were close to God. Sadducees, 10 commandments. Pharisees, 613 plus the 10 commandments. So when we talk about the learned and the clever, these people, these leading castes, if you like, they were the ones that restricted and directed how the people would live their life in faith. That's the burden that they had to live with. Now, next we have in that gospel, mere children. The mere children are those that don't belong to the learned and the clever, and the mere children are those who Jesus spent his entire ministry working with and for. So they were the outcasts, they were the minority, they were those who were the sick and the lame, the physically damaged people in society. And not only were they seen as a minority, but they also had the burden of the Pharisees and the Sadducees that put upon them. So their life was very restricted. mere children. That's a significant term, mere children. One third of all children died at birth or very near to birth in Jesus' time. Two thirds had died by the time they were 16 years of age. So mere children, if you were listening to this, these words, and you're being referred to as a mere child, that would have rung a very loud bell. You survived your childhood. It's hard for us to understand because we live in a different time where, thank heavens, medicine has advanced so much. And I would hope that human respect for life has advanced so much too, though that is a struggle. But when we put those two people together, the learned and the clever, mere children are very significant because it's at that point that we enter into the story, if you like. Some of us here may consider ourselves to be learned and clever. Others of us may consider ourselves to be minority altogether. I don't think in this church that we have minorities, really. The minorities that we're referring to biblically are actually outside the church. They are people who do not feel welcome in here. They feel judged in some sense. And that might be reasonable or it might be completely unreasonable. However, the people that we are trying to reach just aren't here. And that's why Jesus then says, for revealing these things. Now, what are the things that he's trying to reveal? What is trying to be revealed to us, as it were, as we look through the scripture? I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. That's the first thing that's being revealed, that God is not just creator, he is the Lord of the heavens and of the earth. That's the first thing to be revealed. The second thing is that he reveals himself to those who struggle. That's where we very much fit into the picture. Now, when we look at struggle in our life, we can look at it in two ways, as I view it. We can look at it, the event that I am struggling with in the here and now, or the long-term event, the journey of my life, the ups and downs of my life, the good days and the bad days. Most of us are caught up with the struggle that is here and now. I've just been given this diagnosis, or this is happening to this person in my family in the here and now. And most of us want that resolved here and now. But in the long term of our life, the big race of our life, we actually want to be able to live happily and in a safe way, in a comforting way, with those things that we know we have to combat in our life. So struggle is the event, and struggle is the long term as well. And when Jesus says, come to me, he's really talking about the long term. Now, how does he come to us? The third thing that he reveals, these things that are revealed to mere children, is actually in that description that he said, when he says there, the unity of the Father and the Son. He brings together what the Father knows, the Son, he gives to the Son. What the Son knows, he gives back to the Father. So it's that relationship. It's the first two people of the Holy Trinity. Now, you might think that that's a little bit too far away. What will help you is if you understand who is Jesus, then think of like Father, like Son. That's what ties it together. So revealing these things to mere children, to us, broken at times, revealing these things like Father, like Son. And then we get an understanding of who God is, Lord of heaven and of earth, and who he is in my struggle, this singular event or my long-term struggle. God is revealed in Jesus, particularly in this particular gospel. God is revealed in Jesus. How? Through gentleness and through humility. Gentleness and humility. Now, they are the keys for us to live with and understand how we can not just survive, but perhaps thrive in our life by exercising gentleness and humility. Jesus, it actually says there in Matthew's Gospel, humility of heart. So they're the things that are being revealed to us when he says, "I reveal for revealing these things to mere children," the uneducated in that deeper sense. What has been revealed to us is the presence of God. They were so lucky because they had him there right in front of them. We have to search to find God. Where do we find him? We find him in this community because we are the body of Christ. And the body of Christ must exercise and exude gentleness and humility of heart. So what is humility then for us? I think a lot of it has got to do with our own self-esteem, how we look at ourselves. One of the things I think that becomes quite problematic for us in this day and age, because this is the day and age of visual, of imagery, and so people are quite often ridiculed for the way that they look or what they wear. This is the advertising age, which will dictate to people what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. This is the age when more minorities are created, not because of illness necessarily, but because of judgment. So gentleness and humility of heart, in my view, starts with accepting who I am and stop judging myself. The world does that. And in terms of our community, accept other people. We may not necessarily agree with them, but accept others and stop judging others. And once we get that right in our life, both with myself personally and my own brokenness, and with what's going on in the world and its brokenness, once I accept that, then the yoke is easy and light. The burden of our struggle becomes so much lighter because I'm not interested in the judgment of others. I can walk with. And that's why Jesus says, come to me, bring it to me. Walk with me and you will find both personally and as a community our life becomes lighter. It does not remove the pain that we might be in that event or the long-term part of our life. It does not remove that. It allows us to sometimes live with it, but live with others in it. And that's where the yoke is lifted. As we leave here today, I would really ask you that you contemplate in your own life how you accept or not yourself and your own flaws, how you judge yourself. And then the degree to which you can answer that in your life will also echo, I think, the degree to which you accept or reject and the way that we judge other people. Lose the judgment and you will find that the yoke will be lifted. And that's how we live the spiritual life, as referred to in the second reading.